So tonight we are almost at the beginning of Elul. And I feel like Elul is a really intense time in a lot of ways. Just practically, Elul is the beginning of when we start the school year. It's the beginning, and when we actually leave our house and go to school, that's even more of a big deal than it is right now. Elul is a time where we start focusing and realize, like, oh, all those things that we thought we wanted to do this past year, now the year is coming to an end, the year is starting again. What have I been doing? What do I want to be doing? And I think in a lot of ways, as we enter new times in the year, is a time that we really stop and think about all the relationships in our lives. If we're moving, let's say, from high school to college or from high school to seminary, we're thinking of the new friends we're going to make, how we're going to keep in touch with our old friends. If we're moving into a new year of college, it's who are my new roommates going to be? Are my friends from last year, did they do something to me different than me over the summer? It's really thinking about our different relationships. And especially at the stage of life that many of you are in, you maybe last year had just come back from seminary and were starting college. So dating was kind of like a thought, but not so much of a thought. And now maybe you're moving into your second year of Stern or any other college, or you're moving into your third year, or you just finished Stern. Sorry, in my mind, college is Stern. College is not just Stern. College, I'm going to fix that. And you might be thinking of, what are the new relationships I'm going to develop this year? Am I going to start dating somebody? For me, Baruch Hashem, I started my last year of Stern. I was not dating anybody, and by the end of that year, I was getting married in a month. So life changes very quickly, and I think often these things are on your mind. I know they're definitely on my mind as we start new things. What are the relationships we're in? How are we going to maintain those relationships? And what are our relationships going to look like moving into the new year? And of course, the most obvious, but sometimes the hardest relationship to work on in Elul is our relationship with Hashem. That it's easy to think of who are my roommates going to be and how's that going to change the social dynamics of my friend group. It's not so easy to think, what's my relationship with Hashem going to be like this year? So what I want to look at over the next few weeks is big ideas that we can take into our personal relationships, our relationships. And if that keeps happening, it's just going to be a little bit sad for me, but I'll be fine. Our relationships with each other, our dating relationships, developing new relationships. How do we work on those in Elul going into the new year? And how do we apply those same ideas to our relationship with Hashem? I keep referencing this relationship with Hashem. What do you mean relationship with Hashem? If you look at the first source on your source sheet, it says in Sefer Devarim, we say it every single day in Shema, V'yahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha. You should love Hashem with your whole heart, your whole soul, and everything that you have. Why? I thought Hashem gave us an entire Torah and just said, okay, do this mitzvah, do that mitzvah. Check the box, check the box, check the box. All of a sudden, now Hashem's also telling us what to feel. What does that mean? We have to love Hashem. To first understand this, what does love mean? It says in the pasuk, we have to love Hashem. Who can throw out? What does love mean? Anything. I say the word love, what does that bring to mind?
Giving.
What else? What is love?
Care.
Respect. Awesome. Anyone else? What is love?
Loyalty.
Great. So these are all emotions that we think of when we think of love. But how does that apply to Hashem, and why does that have to apply to Hashem? The Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva describes Ha'oved me'ahava usik b'tor v'mitzvah v'holich b'netivo d'chachma lo mipnei davar ba'olam v'lo mipnei yiras ha'ra'a v'lo kidei lireish ha'tova ela oseh ha'emet mipnei shehu emet v'sof ha'tova levo b'glala v'ma'ala zo hi ma'ala gedola me'od v'ein kol chacham zocha lazeh. He says, yes, we can do every single one of the mitzvot. We can check the boxes. We can serve Hashem properly by just fulfilling what he told us to do. But that's not the highest level. And he says, not every intelligent person even reaches this higher level. What is this higher level? V'hi ma'alat Avram Avinu shekar'u HaKadosh Baruch Hu ohavo lefi shelo ovid ela me'ahava. He says, who reached this higher level? Avram Avinu reached this higher level, that he considered Hashem to be his lover, that he served Hashem out of a greater love, whatever, however we would describe that, loyalty, respect. He had some sort of greater emotional pull towards Hashem. If we skip down to the next pasuk, v'keitzad hi ha'ahava haru'ya, hu she'ahav et Hashem ahava gdola, yetera aza me'od ad she'tehi nafsho k'shira ba'avad Hashem. The Rambam describes it the way that we might easily describe the way we want to feel towards someone we're dating. If you're dating someone, you don't want to just check off the boxes and say, okay, so we go out to dinner, and every time we're out, we laugh three times when we're together, we say two nice things to each other, and for my birthday, he buys me a really nice present. Nobody would want to serve, would want to have a relationship with another human being like that, where we just technically say, check the box, I did all of the things that you are supposed to do with the person you are dating, and now we are dating. So it's the Rambam describes, you want to have a greater relationship with Hashem, just like you would want to have with someone you love. That someone you love, you would be thinking about them constantly. The Rambam says that you would think about him always. When you're sleeping at night, it would be the last thing you think about before you go to sleep. And it would be the first thing you think about when you wake up. And the Rambam says, this is the love and the emotion you should feel towards Hashem. So how are we supposed to develop that? Okay, we got it. We can't just check the boxes with Hashem. We want to be in a relationship. We want to be in a relationship with another person. Beautiful. How do we develop that relationship? It's not easy to describe how to develop that relationship with another person, but let alone with a being that you can't hear, you can't see, you don't really feel, nothing. So how do we develop that? The Gemara in Brachot comments on the end of this pasuk in Devarim. It says, V'yahavtas Hashem lokecha, Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im nomar b'chol nafshecha, lama nomar b'chol meodecha. If it already says you should love Hashem b'chol nafshecha, with your entire soul, why does it also have to say b'chol meodecha? V'im nomar b'chol meodecha, and if it says b'chol meodecha, lama nomar b'chol nafshecha. These all seem very extra. Couldn't we just say, you should love Hashem completely? Ella, im yesh adam begufo, shegufo chaviv ala mimamono. If there is a person that his body, his life, is more dear to him than his worldly possessions. So if someone were to come to you and say, I'm going to kill you if you don't serve Hashem, there's somebody that would be the ultimate threat. And they would have to save their life first. And he's saying you should give your life for Hashem. So what's b'chol me'odecha? V'im yish adam shemamuno chaviv ala migufo l'kach ne'amar b'chol me'odecha. Me'odecha is you should serve Hashem with all of your monetary possessions. He's saying if there is somebody that if you would say to them, I'm going to kill you, it would be fine. But if you said to them, I'm going to take away everything you have, that would be the worst for them. And he's saying, even with all your possessions, even in that scenario, you should still serve Hashem. So how do we understand this? It's saying that v'ahavtas Hashem elokecha, you should love Hashem. The Rambam says you should feel this deep emotional connection, this longing for Hashem. And how should we do that? We should serve Hashem b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha. If your body is the most important to you, you should serve Hashem in that way. If your money is the most important to you, you should serve Hashem that way. Each person is going to connect to Hashem differently. Just like each person is going to connect to another person differently. We see Chazal initiated this idea that there is not one path to coming to love Hashem. Because if they said, serve the whole of Avcha, to someone who that didn't resonate, their soul, their life is not as important to them as some other things. It wouldn't apply to that person, and you would say, there's no way for me to connect to Hashem. And for someone who money doesn't matter to them, what good is telling them to connect to Hashem through their money? Dr. Gary Chapman is a pastor from North Carolina. And while we see that Chazal may have had this idea first, Gary Chapman popularized the idea of the five love languages. Has anyone here ever heard of the five love languages? Okay. For anyone who has not heard of the five love languages, we're going to delve into them throughout the course of this year. But when I want you to, when you go home, I want you to Google five love languages and take the quiz. It's incredibly enlightening. It will teach you a lot about yourself. And Amir Tashem, when you are in a relationship, if you're currently in a relationship, have the other person do it as well. If you're not currently in a relationship, it will teach you a lot about how to properly develop a relationship. Gary Chapman came up with this idea of five love languages, that there are different ways in the world that people feel loved. So he broke it down to five categories, that if you want to make that person feel loved, you must speak to them in their primary love language. So in his work as a marriage counselor, he found that often the problem couples were having is that they were not speaking the other person's love language. So for example, one of the love languages is words of affirmation, which means giving compliments. If my love language is words of affirmation, it means a lot to me to receive compliments from my partner, and my husband doesn't know that, then he might love me so much, and he might buy me presents all the time, and he may spend so much time with me, but if he's not giving me a compliment, I'm not going to feel loved in the same way. And if somebody else's love language is physical touch, and I don't realize that, so I go about my whole day telling them I love them a million times, but I never give them a hug, they might also not feel loved. So much like Chazal said, there are multiple ways of connecting to Hashem and growing in our love of Hashem. There are also multiple ways of connecting to another human being. And what I want to do is I want to take Gary Chapman's five love languages, delve into a little bit of what each of them are, and also tie them back to how we can use them to connect to Hashem. Everyone with me? Okay, awesome. And totally feel free to stop me with any questions about the love languages in general, about the Torah we're sharing, really any of it works. The first one we're going to discuss is words of affirmation. Words of affirmation, like I said, is giving compliments. On a basic level, that can seem very superficial. So is that saying that in order to develop a relationship, I should just tell you, you're so great, that's so great, everything's so great, you're so awesome, I love you, and be done? No. What Gary Chapman says is words of affirmation means taking time, stopping, and letting another person know what you appreciate about them. So let's say your mother, her love language is words of affirmation, and you feel like you and your mom are just not connecting. If you figure out that her love language is words of affirmation, that would mean making sure to stop and not butter her up with compliments, say, "Ma, you're so great. By the way, can I have $20? It's taking the time to generally express verbal appreciation for another person. I was listening to Rabbi Yoni Levin, if anyone has heard of him. He's the assistant rabbi in Esh Kodesh in Woodmere. And he gave a very interesting insight, which was that what is the key to giving an effective compliment? The key to giving an effective compliment that really means something, that will really satisfy someone whose love language is words of affirmation, that will really satisfy their need for affirmation, what is that? It's a compliment that speaks to the person themselves. So let's say I really like Roni's jacket. I could either say, "Roni, that is a beautiful jacket." Or I could say, "Roni, you look great in that jacket." Now, technically, I'm complimenting the jacket in both of them. But one of them is addressing Roni and showing that I appreciate her and I think that she looks great in that jacket. And one I could say to a mannequin in the store also. So when you want to genuinely compliment another person, it's so important, in order to properly express the appreciation that you mean to convey, to make sure that it's focused on the person themselves, that you want to make sure you're addressing them and not their item. How does this relate to Hashem? On a basic level, we could say that what is words of affirmation to Hashem We could say it's tefillah, that Hashem gave us this incredible opportunity to speak to him. It says in the Midrash in Shmot Rabbah, Kivan sheru'u Yisrael shehayu mukfin mishalosh ruchot, hayasoger v'hasonei rodif, v'achayot min hamidbar. Talu einehem la'avihem shabashamayim, v'tzaku la kadosh baruch hu shenemar, v'tzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. V'lama asa kadosh baruch hu lahen kach, Ela shehaya hakadosh baruch hu mitaveh letfilatam. It's said that when B'nai Yisrael were on the Yam Suf, they looked around and they saw that they were surrounded on all three sides. The Egyptians were coming. There was wild animals of the Midbar. And then there was the Yam. And it says that B'nai Yisrael stopped and they screamed out to Hashem. And then Hashem helped them. Hashem took them out of Egypt. He knew they were going to hit the Yam Suf. Why couldn't he just have helped them without them having to scream out to him? And the answer, says the Shmuel Rabbah, is that Hashem mitavel et tefilatan. Hashem desires our tefillah. Hashem wants us to call out to him. Now, what is tefillah? Hashem is giving us the opportunity to verbally connect to him. That he's saying there is such a strong power in communication. Everyone knows that if you want to develop a relationship with another person, if you're not talking to them, it's going to be quite difficult. That forget about words of affirmation and the right kind of compliment. If you don't talk to another person, there's not going to be a relationship there. So on a basic level, we can understand that it's this idea that Hashem is saying to us, I gave you this opportunity to daven to me, to connect to me verbally. Use it. Take advantage of it. I love it when you connect to me in this way. But that's not quite words of affirmation. That's an easy answer. Easy answer, tefillah, words of affirmation. It works well. But on a deeper level, what is this way of connecting to Hashem? Can I speak again? Oh, you're fine. What else is words of affirmation? Does anyone have a suggestion? What do you think would really be words of affirmation to Hashem? I'll tell you if not. Another way that we connect to Hashem through words of affirmation is when we say a bracha. Think back to how I said we should formulate a compliment to another person. As opposed to saying, dinner was great tonight, you could say, wow, you made such a delicious dinner. Thank you so much. When we make a bracha to Hashem, we turn to Hashem and we say, Baruch atah Hashem. Blessed are you, Hashem. Borei Pri Ha'etz. Hashem, thank you so much for creating this fruit. If it was a matter of just asking Hashem's permission to eat this fruit that's here in front of us, we could just say, Hashem, taking this apple right now. We don't need such a beautiful formulation. We could just say, Hashem, I took an apple. But rather, Hashem is giving us an opportunity to appreciate what he gave us in this world, to raise our awareness of him, and to connect to him in that way. So when we look around at our world and we say, wow, Hashem gave us such a beautiful world. For someone whose primary love language is words of affirmation, this can be an extremely powerful way of connecting to Hashem. To look at everything we have in the world, to pick up that apple and say, Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, thank you Hashem. Borei Pri Ha'etz, you created such wonderful fruits for me. Thank you for that, Hashem. And if we use that attitude and we're someone who connects through words of affirmation, we're a compliment giver, we can internalize that and realize how powerful that can be in connecting to Hashem. So that's the first love language, words of affirmation. Sorry. The next one is gifts. Now I would say some of the love languages are kind of universally understandable. Everyone pretty much understands that spending quality time with another person is a great way to develop a relationship. But I find that for someone who's not necessarily a gift giver, it's a little bit hard to understand the real meaning of gift giving. I know for myself. Wait, sorry. Let's take a step back. Gary Chapman says that there's a power of giving gifts. That some people express their love and feel love through receiving gifts. That if your husband, Emir Tashem, stops and picks up flowers for you on the way home on a Friday, brings it to you, that will be a much greater expression of his love than him walking in and saying, I love you. That for some people, that's what's important. To know that someone stopped in their day, thought of you, got you a gift, and made sure to bring it to you because they knew it would make you so happy. That's gift giving. I know myself, I am really not such a gifts person, not into jewelry. My mom hates when I say that because she's like, you can't ever tell your husband you don't like jewelry, then you're not going to get any jewelry. I was like, that's the point, I don't want. So some people just are not gift givers. But I can tell you that when someone does truly think of something, and it doesn't need to be a fancy diamond bracelet, if my husband stops on the way home and picks up a chocolate bar on his way out of the store, that can mean a lot more. Because that shows that what Chapman is saying, the point of the gifts is nobody just thrives on love by having items presented to them. There's just a very different feeling when the Amazon guy drops off a box than if someone personally comes and says, I got you something, right? So that's the true meaning of gift giving. It's not about the items you're getting. It's not like some materialistic way of expressing love. It's someone stopping in their day and saying, I got this for you. I thought of you. It was important to me to make you happy in this way, and I knew that would make you happy. How does this relate to Hashem? We can't give gifts to Hashem. When there used to be the karbanot, it was easy. We literally took items that we had, whether it was our first fruits, our best animals, we gave them to Hashem. But we don't have karbanot now. So what are these gifts? If we are a person who really understands that deep meaning of gifts, and that's our love language, how can we use that to connect to Hashem? I want to look in Masechet Shabbos, and it says, D'tanya, zekhili v'anvehu. It says in Az Yashir Zekhili Vanvehu, what does this mean? Hatana lefanav b'mitzos atze lefanav sukkah na'e v'lulav na'e v'shofar na'e tzitzis na'e sefer Torah na'e v'chatuv bo l'shmo b'dyo na'e u'b'klonimus na'e u'levla, that one's a tongue twister, u'b'levler u'man v'karko v'shirin na'in. What is this idea Zekhili Vanvehu? The Gemara says we learn from there that we should adorn Hashem, that we should get beautiful things, that we should get beautiful things for Hashem. What does that mean? It means that when we go and buy our lulav and esrog, we don't just walk into the store, grab the first one we saw off the shelf, and buy it. We have a concept of hiddur mitzvah, that our Sifri Torah could just the same be covered in a sack, and it would be fine. But we don't believe in doing that. We believe in hiddur mitzvah, that we get beautiful, embellished coats for the Torah. We buy the nicest possible lulav and the nicest possible esrog. We write a sefer Torah with the finest ink. Why is that? Does Hashem really care about the material that we use to make the sefer Torah? As long as it's kosher, who cares? But Hashem is giving this opportunity to take a moment out of our day and say, I really want to make Hashem happy. And I'm a gift giver. I know I feel amazing when my husband brings that chocolate bar home from work. Or when the person I'm dating shows up with flowers, like there's nothing better. How can I do that for Hashem? And the way we can do that for Hashem is realizing that sometimes there's a basic way to do something. There's a way to fulfill the mitzvah, and I'll be perfectly fine. But I can also do it in a nicer way. I can make it beautiful. I can set my Shabbos table so it's gorgeous. I can invest a little more time and effort into finding the perfect lulav and the perfect esrog. I can decorate my sukkah so that it's an enjoyable, beautiful place to be for the week. That's hiddur mitzvah. That's stopping and saying, Hashem, I wish I could give you everything in the world, but you're not physical. You're not here with me. I can't give you a gift. I can't give you a karban. But I can show you that I put in the effort to make what I'm already doing for you a little bit nicer. I'm thinking of you, and I want it to be the most beautiful it can be. So that's how we can give gifts to Hashem. Wow, my pages are all out of order. Okay, next one is acts of service. This one's a very interesting one, and Chapman explains. Also, this one's a little difficult for people to understand who it's not their act of service. I'm going to tell you a story. When I first got married, I moved to Washington Heights, and I was working in the Five Towns. for anyone who knows New York, New Jersey geography, it was a horrendous commute. Like, actually horrible. I woke up at 6 in the morning, maybe. Yeah, I think it was 6 in the morning. I was out of my house by 6:25, left the house, and, like, on a good day, I would be back in my house by 7 o'clock that night. Like, I was exhausted. And, of course, when I got married, I was all excited that I was going to be the perfect wife, right? I was going to walk in after that incredibly long day, and my kitchen, which I, of course, had spotlessly cleaned the night before, was going to be perfectly stocked so that dinner, beautiful, yummy dinner, would be done in the next 10 minutes. Now, newsflash, that's definitely not what happened. In my tiny Washington Heights kitchen, my kitchen was always a mess. Dinner took forever because, oh, also, obviously, there's no air conditioning in the kitchen, so it's unbearably hot. And I was like, I'm a mess. I can't do anything. And then my husband, being the wonderful person he is, picked up on this disaster of a situation and realized that with the amount of traffic I was in, he would get home before me. And I remember walking into my apartment one day, knowing I had left dishes everywhere, and all the dishes were beautifully cleaned and left in the drying rack. I was on cloud nine. That was the most exciting thing that could have happened. I guarantee there could have been diamonds covering my dining room table. I wouldn't have cared because my dishes were clean. That's acts of service. Chapman says that for some people, the greatest way to communicate love is to just do the basics. It's to take out the garbage. It is to do the laundry. It is, if you're dating somebody, it's, you know, they have a project due that night, so you offer to pick up dinner and you're meeting up somewhere, you offer to plan the date. It's the little things that happen every single day, and it's taking care of those things for another person. And what's the beauty behind this? It shows a real sensitivity towards your partner. Because if you know that the boy you're dating has a huge test the next day and he's really stressed and he also wants to hang out with you, but hanging out with you means he has to come down to meet you, pick up dinner on the way, find a place for you guys to sit, plan something, and that all has to go into the time besides for that he's actually spending with you, that's going to be really stressful for him. So if you pause and you realize and say, I really want to hang out with him and I really appreciate that he's taking this time to hang out with me, so what can I do to make that better? And it means sometimes inconveniencing yourself and doing something that you don't always want to do. And Chapman says a lot of times that's a beauty. Nobody says, wow, I really discovered that I love taking out the garbage when I started doing it for my husband, because nobody likes taking out the garbage. But it's saying, even though I don't enjoy doing it, I'm going to do it because I love you. And I want to show you that I love you. So I'm going to do it for you. My husband doesn't like doing dishes any more now than he did when we lived in the Heights. But he does it all the time because he knows it makes me a much more calm, enjoyable person to be around. So he continues to do it, and I really appreciate it. How does this apply to Hashem? When I started seminary, anybody who went to MMY, one of my favorite teachers, and I would say people in the entire world, is Rabbi Lerner. He teaches the halacha classes, and I think he's an incredible Talmid Chacham and really just an amazing person. So I walked into his class on the first day, which is Hilchot Orach Chaim, where you learn Shulchan Aruch Orach Chaim. We open up Shulchan Aruch, right? The entire book of our halachic text, and you expect some, like, amazing halacha. Like, this is first, I don't know, whenever you start classes, third day of seminary, I am pumped to learn the most exciting halacha in the entire world. We open up Shulchan Aruch. Din hashkamat boker, hashkamat haboker, the halachot of waking up in the morning. Yikaber kari lamud baboker lavuda sporo, you should wake up in the morning like a lion. Thank you, Rav Yosef Karo. Pretty sure by the time I opened the sefer, I knew I had to wake up in the morning. That's not exactly what I was expecting. And then we went on in the class to learn the halachot of washing your hands. And already I'm like, okay, this is not the most thrilling class in the world, but what can you do? So we start learning. And Rabbi Lerner explains to us the different reasons for why one washes their hands in the morning. One of the reasons is for cleanliness. One of the reasons is because when we go to sleep, we die a little bit. So when our neshama comes back in, we have to purify ourselves. And then we learned the reason, which reframed the entire class for me and made it my favorite class of the entire year. And that was that, why do we wash our hands in the morning right when we wake up? Because just like the Kohanim used to wash their hands before they started their avodah in the morning, so too, when we are ready to start our avodah, we have to prepare ourselves, we have to purify ourselves, we have to wash our hands to be ready to serve Hashem. And that reframed it all for me. These things aren't boring. The things we do every single day, like wake up, wash our hands, tie our shoes, cut our fingernails, all of the thrilling things that are written about in Or Chaim, you could look at them as just the day-to-day activities. But if you think about it, you wake up in the morning and you right away, before you do anything else, it says you're not even supposed to walk 4 amot in the morning before you wash your hands. And you wash your hands in a specific way, exactly the way Hashem wants you to. You have then elevated everything you do after that day, to a level of avodas Hashem. You're no longer just getting dressed. You're getting dressed the way Hashem wants you to get dressed. You're not just tying your shoes. You're tying your shoes exactly how Hashem wants you to tie your shoes. Each of these things, when you think about them in that context, are a way of serving Hashem, of getting closer to Hashem. So these are the acts of service that we can do for Hashem. That it's not just we're going through our life. It's taking each of these small things that are just like taking out the garbage, washing the dishes, and doing the laundry. They're not exciting when you think of them as taking out the garbage, doing the laundry, and washing the dishes. But when you think of them as doing something meaningful for a person you care about to make their life better, so you think about it as a way to elevate your day so that every single thing you do that day can connect you to Hashem, that's a true act of service. That's connecting to Hashem. And if that's your love language, you are so lucky, because that is a large majority of what we do in our day. How much of your day is an intense spiritual moment? Mirtz Hashem, I hope for you that every minute is intensely spiritual. But for most people that have to do regular things in their lives, most of your day is spent in regular acts of service, Hashem. So if you're the type of person that connects to that, that's an incredibly special way of connecting to Hashem, because it takes the majority of what you're already doing and directs it to Hashem. Next is going to be the most complicated one to understand with Hashem, and probably the easiest one to understand in context of another person, and that is physical touch. Chapman says that each of our 5 senses are localized in one specific area. You only hear through your ears, and you only smell through your nose. Physical touch is the one sense that encompasses your whole body. It's so powerful. There are receptors covering your entire body that if you touch something, it's really a full body experience. Everyone's experienced this in that you hold an ice cube and all of a sudden you shiver. It's one thing that's touching the tip of your finger that can affect your entire body. And the same is true when physical touch is used in a context of a relationship. It's an incredibly powerful sense. The Torah gives us guidelines for how to properly use this incredibly powerful way of connecting to another person. We know there are times you can and cannot touch another person. There are ways you can and cannot touch another person. Because we know that a relationship that is established on physical touch alone can accelerate at way too fast a pace. That if we just touch another person, that can take the relationship to a place where it's not meant to be. However, when we work on a relationship and deepen our relationship and truly emotionally connect to another person, then at that point it says that physical touch can bring you to the closest possible state you can be with another human being. It says when husband and wife are together, Hashem is with them. It's something beautiful. Unlike in other religions where sometimes it's portrayed as something that's sinful, something that's disgusting, the Torah puts physical touch on such a pedestal, and that's why it must be so controlled. That it's such a powerful connection that it must be saved for the ultimate relationships. But how do we physically connect to Hashem? If our love language is physical touch, you're a really touchy-feely person, and obviously that also presents itself with other people in context of a halachic relationship. But how do we use that to connect to Hashem? There's not even somebody we could worry about touching because there's nobody here. There's no way to connect to Hashem physically. How do we connect to Hashem on a physical level? Anyone have any suggestions? Yeah, Mira.
I think, like, as an example, like, asking Hashem to give you strength or health or things that are physical, when you have those things that, I don't know, that's how you can, like, feel Hashem because you know it's from Him.
Awesome. So taking the things that we know that we have physically, like our health, and remembering that that's connected to Hashem, or asking Hashem to help us with something physical that reminds us that Hashem is in our physical life. Really beautiful. I love that. Another idea is that we have a concept in Torah of dvikas. That right now, I am definitely not on a level to give you a shiur about dvikas. Avas Hashem, maybe I can touch on. But dvikas is like a little bit above what I can reach. Dvikas means technically to cling to Hashem, to cleave to Hashem, to connect to Hashem completely. The Nesivu Shalom on Parshat Ekev says, V'atem hadvikim b'Hashem elokichem chayim kolchem hayom. We all know this. We say it in Shul way back when we all used to go to Shul. We say, V'atem hadvikim b'Hashem kolchem hayom. What does it mean that we are all connecting, we are cleaving, we are clinging to Hashem? Me'harav Mirujin. He's quoting the Rizhina Rebbe. Dihine b'inyan dvikos b'Hashem yish b'madrigot rabu. Yish dvikot haba'a rak mitoch tzichliot v'shemiponim b'da'ato mi'vin u'mitoch kach hu migil dvikot b'Hashem. So there's one level of dvikos that's purely intellectual. We go through all of the rest of these love languages that we discussed, and we said, intellectually, I know that I should connect to Hashem. And therefore, based on that, we work on then connecting to Hashem. V'yish b'chinat dvikot mitoch rishay halev. And then there's a more emotional connection. They're saying, emotionally, I feel like I should connect to Hashem. So it's not going to be an intellectual endeavor, it's going to be an emotional endeavor. I'm going to work on emotionally connecting to Hashem. V'yish od madriga yoter gavoa shel dvika gam be'ivarim. Shel azeh migi'im hatzadikim shavireihem dvukim b'Hashem ve'osim rak evritzono yisbarach. So he says, well, what is the highest level of connecting to Hashem? It's connecting to Hashem with your ivarim, with your limbs. What does that mean? He says that when it talks about Avraham Avinu, the way it describes Avraham's actions in the Psukim, it doesn't seem like Avraham is deciding to do things like regular human beings. Rather, it says in the Pasuk, okay, so it says with David HaMelech, Chashavti Darki V'Ashiva Ragli, David HaMelech says, I thought about you, Hashem, and my legs went and returned to you. And it says something similar by Avraham Avinu, that Avraham Avinu thought of Hashem, and his body just went and did the mitzvah. So what does this mean? All of a sudden, my body is going to start acting on its own accords. It's going to just so greatly desire to connect to Hashem. I want to take a step back. What is so powerful about physical touch? Is it literally me walking over and touching you? Is that what everyone talks about is so challenging in a relationship that, you know, I'm sitting next to a person, it's really hard for my hand to not just reach out and tap them on the head? Like, no. What drives physical touch is a desire to be closer and closer and closer to another person. And Amir Tashem, when you are dating somebody and you're in a relationship, you can talk and talk and talk and talk and buy gifts and buy presents and compliment them. But it feels like there's a lack. And you want to be closer. You want to fill in that void. You want to be closer to that person and you want to connect to them on a closer level and a closer level. And it feels more and more challenging to not know how to fill that void. So what we want to fill it with is touching them, is physically getting closer to them. When it comes to Dvikas,
you could think of Hashem as an intellectual being, that intellectually I'm going to think about Hashem and I'm going to connect him through my moach, through my brain.
And then as you develop this intellectual relationship, you want to get closer to Hashem. So then emotionally you start thinking, okay, I've moved past what I can think about in my brain. Now I want to emotionally connect to him. How do I do that? And I try to work on that. And the greatest level that it says is that of the tzaddikim is they felt that they needed to surpass even that level, the emotional level of connecting to Hashem. They felt like their bodies just had to connect to Hashem. That Avraham Avinu even just thought of Hashem and his body started going to do a mitzvah. Now I daven for each of you that you should be on that spiritual level, that your body just starts doing mitzvah. But how I think that it can relate to us, on, at least for myself, I'm not quite a tzaddikas on that level, that my body just does mitzvah. But I can work on trying to grow that desire to grow closer to Hashem. To take stock of what stage am I at in my dvikas? Am I still just thinking about Hashem intellectually? Have I even moved into the emotional connection? And then, do I feel like I want to give Hashem a hug? Do I feel like there's a void? There's a closeness that I want to fill? Do I want to be closer than I am right now to Hashem? And I think for someone who's a touchy-feely person, someone whose love language is physical touch, that can really help them connect to Hashem. Thinking about, when I want to just run over and hug that person, do I feel that way about Hashem? Do I feel the need to get closer, the need to grow closer and to do something about it? To actually try to get closer to that other person? Do I feel that need with Hashem? That's physical touch. And now moving on, and I'm sure everyone's thinking in their mind which love language you are. So I'm telling you afterwards, it's really interesting and really insightful into your personality to actually do the quiz. The last one is quality time. Chapman describes that quality time is not sitting in the same room as another person. It's putting away your phone, putting away other distractions, not being with anyone else, and focusing your full attention on the person you are with. He said included in that is undivided attention to conversation. It's true listening skills. There's a lot that falls under quality time. But the premise is that you are taking time out of your life and giving it to another person. That you're saying, you are important enough to me that I am going to give you precious moments of my life that I will never get back because I know that means a lot to you. I know for my husband, it means more to him for me to sit down for 10 minutes without my phone and just talk to him than pretty much anything else I could do. I know it's hard to look at the positives of Corona when we're still very much in it, but I think one of the things that I noticed right at the beginning was I just felt like people were spending a lot more quality time with everyone, with themselves, with their family, with their pets. Like, you would walk outside and just see people on a regular Tuesday afternoon sitting around doing absolutely nothing besides for talking to each other. And there's something really beautiful about that. Every day during Corona, my husband and I would take a walk. It was great. And I looked at him and I was like, thank God, we work together, pretty much do everything together. But when do you get quality time like that? Any other time in your life where you get to just stop, besides for Shabbos, we have a huge bracha that we spend a lot of time together on Shabbos. You just get to stop and give moments of your life to another person and say, I really care to make you happy. I want to just spend time with you. I don't have anything else to do right now. And I'm really happy to give that time where I could be talking on my phone with my friends. I could, I don't know, be learning. I could be, there was not very much else to do during Corona. But I'm giving that time to you. What is our quality time with Hashem? I think most people do understand this in some way, even if it's not your primary love language. I believe it's usually pretty high up there in most people's calculations, at least that I come across. What is our quality time with Hashem? Anyone have any suggestions? How do we give quality time with Hashem? We say to Hashem, I'm giving you these moments. Eliana.
Tefillah.
Definitely. Any other suggestions?
Yeah. Learning Torah.
Learning Torah. Yeah, Shir. Totally. Any mitzvah, and Shira gave a beautiful Yarchi Kalashir on mindfulness and being mindful in the actions that you're doing. So that's very much a part of this. It says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Marle, Rish Lakish, Ovid Kol Chavim Sheshavas Chayav Mita. There is a halacha that a non-Jew that keeps Shabbos is Chayav Mita. They're Chayav to die. Why is that? We say Shabbos is so beautiful. Shouldn't everybody do it? The Midrash in Shmot Rabbah explains, Ra'u ki Hashem natan lachem ha-Shabbos. Lo haya tzarich lomar ela de'u ma'ra'u. Ela kach amar lahem ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu. Im yavo uvdei kochavim ba'amru lahem. Lama atem osim et yom ha-Shabbos b'yom hazeh. Amru lahem. Ra'u she'in haman yoreh b'Shabbos. So it says Hashem gave us a present. And if a non-Jew were to come to us and say, why are you celebrating Shabbos on this day? We would say, because we know the man didn't come down on this day. Umau natan lachem, lachem natna v'lo la'ovdei kochavim. We would say, and you know what? Hashem gave it to us and not to you. So who are you to be challenging us? Mikan amru, im yavou me'ovdei kochavim v'shamru et ha-Shabbos, Lo diyam she'in mekablim schar. It's not even enough that they just wouldn't receive schar. Shenemar v'yom v'layla lo yishbutu v'kin hu omer b'ini uvim b'nei Yisrael. Why is this? Because Hashem says Shabbos is something I gave b'ini uvim b'nei Yisrael. It's between me and you, b'nei Yisrael. Mashal l'melach yoshev v'matrona yoshevet kenegdo. It's like a king who is spending quality time with his queen. Ha'over b'neihem chayav. If the king puts in his schedule that he is spending quality time with the queen, no servants are walking through there. No one can intrude on that special quality time. The first primary example of spending quality time with Hashem is Shabbos. That Hashem says to us, I'm designating this time. And even if the rest of the week gets away from us, we're going to come back to each other on Shabbos. We're going to have this reunion on Shabbos. We have this quality time. But just like everyone else who contributed answers, like Shira and Eliana and Rooney said, every mitzvah we do can become quality time with Hashem. Learning Torah, tefillah, can all become quality time with Hashem when we make the conscious effort. And we say, I'm not davening while I'm also making breakfast, while I'm also trying to get my kids out of the house. If I stop, even for one bracha of Berachot HaShachar, and say, this is my quality time with Hashem, I am giving these moments to Hashem, that takes it to a whole new level. So if you look at tefillah as your time to talk with your best friends, it takes it to a whole new level. No, Hashem gives us this opportunity 3 times a day to connect to Him. Only Him. Privately. Just us and Him. We would clamor for that time with someone we loved. To think about it in that way and connect to Hashem in that quality time is incredible. To take Shabbos and not just see it as Hashem gave us this gift, but it'll kind of be like when you hang out with your friend and you don't really do anything. Like, I don't know, you watch TV together, like you're kind of together, but like not so much together. Hashem's saying, this is the time of week that I'm designating as our time. We don't even need to put in the same effort. And Hashem's saying, I want to connect to you. I want to spend time with you. I want to be close to you. So it's connecting to Hashem through tefillah, through Shabbos. Really through any moment of the day. When Shira said, if you take any mitzvah and make that your quality time, that's your time to connect to Hashem. And you put aside all other distractions and you spend time with Hashem. So those are the 5 love languages. And these are the ways that, in your way, you can use them to connect to Hashem. But one might say, Okay, so I know it's clear as day in my mind that I am such an acts of service person. So great. Forget about the other ones. That's not the way the love languages work. You're going to see when you take the test. Each person has a measure of each love language. It's not about saying, I am only a physical touch person. Because also, that doesn't always work. You're not going to physically touch everybody that you want to connect to, everybody that you want to relate to. And these love languages are not just meant for the person you're dating and for Hashem. They're meant to teach you how to relate to your coworkers and your children and your grandparents. They work for everybody. So it's not just a one-size-fits-all. There's no way for me to say, you know what, if you just take the time and do the regular acts of service to Hashem, you'll be successful. So the one other takeaway is to say that each person has their primary love language, their main way of connecting to Hashem. But we also have all of these different little ways. And they change throughout your life. Sometimes when you're super busy and feel swamped, acts of service might be amazing for you. But for really special times, you really appreciate a good gift. It means so much to you. So it's thinking about, I always really love Shabbos and really connect to Shabbos. But you know what? Now that I've been spending Shabbos with the same people for week after week after week after month, Shabbos just doesn't feel so special to me anymore. That's not the time to give up. That's to say, oh, right, I have a primary love language, which is quality time. But I also have my next top love language, which is giving gifts. So to go out and use that to revitalize your relationship and say, you know what, today I'm going to try giving Hashem a gift. I'm going to try doing something really beautiful for Hashem. So the message I want everyone to take away from this is say, as we are approaching Chodesh Elul, what is my love language? How can I use that in dating in this upcoming year, in relating to my parents who I've been spending way more time with them than I ever thought I would? How can I use it to relate to my siblings? How can my interpersonal relationships this year be stronger than they ever were before? How can I develop new close relationships? But also, how can I love Hashem? How can I engage in this deep relationship with Hashem? That going back to our original question, what does that mean we have to love Hashem? Why is Hashem telling us to love him? Because we're in a relationship with Hashem. It's not just a guidebook that was given to us and said, if you check the boxes, you will be successful. Because then along comes the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem and we're thrown for a loop. That's not a box you can just check with a moment to go. You have to think about it, you have to work on it, and you have to develop it. My bracha to you is that you should be able to internalize your love language, figure out what it is, use it in your relationship with other people, and really work this year to use it to connect and grow deeper and closer and more connected to Hashem, to say at the end of this year, I love Hashem.